GCC is where I got prophetic messages about my family, about how we're going to get a child. You know, we've been believing God for children, and God has already had given us a word. But on the pulpit, God also spoke to us.
Do you have children? No, sir. Children are coming. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. It's part of the package.
I got a word for you. God said the wait is over.
Actually, serving God is actually the most interesting thing about my life now. Not my work, not.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the Lord for that wonderful testimony, for that wonderful testimony. God is a good God. God is still in the business of doing miracles in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, it's good to be in church this morning. Hallelujah. And did that testimony bless you or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of us were here live to witness that story, witness that testimony. That particular couple you saw, you know, one of the most faithful couples in our church, and they've been waiting for 5 years. Actually, technically, they've waited for more than 5 years, but that story from that day, but they've been waiting for about 5 years, and these ministers of God came. For those two ministers that spoke those words are not Nigerians. So they don't even live in... Okay, they're not Nigerians, all right? One is a Ghanaian, one is a Briton. It's a Briton, or British. Okay, Briton. Praise God. You know, and they came in for meetings and prophetically gave that word. There's no way they have never met those that couple before, never spoken to them one-on-one before. Didn't know them from anywhere. You know, I'm saying all this to let you know that Satan is on a rampage to discredit pastors, to discredit churches, to say, oh, I mean, you know, what is church doing? You know, people think that the church doesn't change the government. But we have what we are doing. The government is not just in that couple. Or people's spiritual issues, or people's soul, you know, issues of their soul. That's not the government's job. That's our job. That's our focus. Our job is not necessarily to build road for you, you know, as people think. That's not my job. There are people here in the churches that should go do that. That should be anointed to go into politics and make a difference with the God sense that you have. All right, you know. So, but there are people all over the place trying to discredit churches and all that. But churches, God is still using churches. God is still using pastors to change people's lives. All right. The only people you can convince about those things are people that have never encountered God. You can't tell that couple now that church is not good. You can't tell them that. Hallelujah. God is still using pastors. God is still using His church to create change. I know there are many mad churches or mad pastors. Some of those people have can't even be called pastors. So there are people like that, we know, but they are still good ones. They are still real ones. So that should not be your excuse. Find a good church wherever you are and be a part of it. Glory to God. Because God will always use your church to reach you. Every Sunday, every week, He prepares a word for you. Can you imagine? These men of God flew from out of town just to give that word. Never met that couple before. So there's no way they would have known this naturally. Hallelujah. It's amazing. And Satan particularly uses the greed nature in man. That's what he uses to attack people, to discredit churches. He uses the greed. He say, churches want your money. Churches, pastors just want your money. You know, the reason why that is working with many people is because he's appealing to the greed in human nature. It's appealing to a very legitimate problem that human beings have, which is greed. Because everybody is still going to take your money. Everybody's going to take your money. Your landlord will take your money. Your school will take your money in terms of school fees. So everybody needs money to run. Same with the church. Now, those men of God that came, we paid ticket for them. They don't live here. So we paid ticket. Who we paid the ticket? If you don't give, if you don't tithe, who will pay that? And imagine if they didn't come and they didn't bless that couple. And I don't know how many other people you know, God plans to bless, we need to have the money to do it. There's no, I don't work in British Airways or whatever. So we need to pay. And they don't live here, they need to be lodging in hotels. That's money. That's what churches do with money. In case you don't know. Hallelujah. I'm saying all this because it tallies with today's message. Today's message is financial goals. Hallelujah. Financial goals. Because we're doing Bullseye. If you're not aware, we started a series last week titled Bullseye. Bullseye is talking about meeting your goals. You know, we're still at the beginning of the year, February, meeting your goals. So last week we did spiritual goals. Today, we're doing financial goals. And I pray for everyone that's under my voice, you will meet your financial goals in the name of Jesus. There's nothing as beautiful as meeting goals, whether it's financial, marital, relationship, anything. You will meet your financial goals. And by the way, next week is relationship goals. Hallelujah. Relationship goals. Ladies, I thought you would shout more than that. Hallelujah. Relationship goals. And I'm going to be here physically for that one. I must be here physically for that one. So it's going to be tough. Better invite people. Because that's Valentine's weekend. Relationship goals. Hallelujah. So, but today is financial goals. So that's why I'm laying that foundation. Because we can't even be talking about financial goals without you being liberal in terms of your money. The Bible said the liberal soul. That's what the Bible says. I believe they'll put that scripture on the screen. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. So it's important you have a good relationship with money. We can't talk about financial goals without you understanding or having a good relationship. You know, last is here, Proverbs 11:25. Said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. I didn't write any of these things. This is out there here in the Bible. So when you are necessarily stingy or you have, you know, a very greedy approach to money, there's no need for me to even add more teaching to money on you if you're already suffering from greed. Just make life more difficult for you. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? All right, so this is relationship goals. So you need to have a godly approach, a godly relationship. You must see money. Because you know what the Bible says? Money is so powerful. That is the only thing God usually compares himself with. He said you can't serve God and mammon. That's what Jesus Christ said. He compared himself. Because that's what it takes to love God is what it takes to love money. It takes dedication, sacrifice, time. That's the same thing you used to chase money. And they're saying, look, you must be able to know which is more important. And the best way to do it is to use money to serve God. Any other way, you'll just become another greedy guy, just going to church, a church-going greedy guy. There's no difference between you and a 419 guy, a fraudster, a drug dealer, you know, anybody just looking for money by all means. If we add to your tendency to greed again in church, it'll just increase it. So the first thing God will require is that you have a healthy, godly relationship with money. We can't talk about relationship goals if there's already greed and there's still greed inside of you. So you must have that godly approach. And that's what Satan tries to attack by saying, Pastor just wants your money. He's trying to appeal to the greed in you. Everybody wants your money. The question is, why do they want your money? The guy that owns the nightclub wants your money. The guy that is selling alcohol wants your money. The guy that is selling clothes wants your money. The guy that is opening a school wants your money. Even your government wants your money in tax. Hallelujah. Everybody wants your money. The church also wants your money, but we have a clear, defined purpose why we want your money. Why the church needs your money. And that's why that testimony touches us. Because it empowers us to do what God has called us to do. We spend money like every other organization spends money. So we need to have a healthy approach. A healthy relationship with money. We can't run from talking about it. Hallelujah. I am one of the WhatsApp groups I belong to. Somebody put a picture of a church that owns an helicopter. And they wrote on the helicopter that grassroots, you know, it's a very big church and, you know, it's a serious church. So they probably had some grassroots places they have to go that planes don't go to. And they needed to carry things there or whatever. So they had a chopper, an helicopter that they used to do those missions. You know, and the guy put the thing on the group. And I'm sure he was expecting people to criticize and say, hey, churches have come again. And I wrote it quickly there. Immediately put it. I say, praise God for this helicopter. It's not only basketball players that need a helicopter. Because the world are okay with people, musicians, just having a helicopter. But if a church has it, oh! everybody is spending other people's money. The richest man in the world is not printing his money. It's me and you that contributed to it. The richest man in Nigeria is not printing money. We're all buying something from him. We're giving him our money. But he's giving us something in return, hopefully. Praise God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So we too need, the church needs money to do ministry. I was giving you my schedule some weeks ago. My schedule is crazy. Last week I was in Benin. I preached in Benin. I flew to Benin, preached in Benin. Finished, I did a Thursday night, Friday morning. Went to the airport straight on Friday. Flew back to Lagos. The only reason I flew back to Lagos was because there's no flight from Benin to Port Harcourt. If not, I would have gone from Benin to Port Harcourt if I had a helicopter or a plane. Because I need to be opening your mind. Don't be too rigid. It's human beings that have this thing. It's not God that, it's human beings that made it for other human beings. It's human beings like you that are using it. Don't be afraid. Praise God. Because cool down. The way you see phone, that's how some people see helicopter. It's just something to use. It's not a big deal. Hallelujah. It's not a big deal. It's poor people that think like that. It's not a big deal. People, all of us celebrated Kobe. Kobe Bryant that passed on, and I believe he knew God from some videos or so. We believe so. We don't know. But he was a great guy. But you see, he needed a helicopter to catch his schedule. That's all. It's just a tool. For him, it wasn't something he was worshiping. But just a tool to meet his schedule. He said that he needed to be a parent, to take his daughter, to do all the time. He needed a helicopter. That's just it. It's just a tool. Let's stop worshiping material things. So, as I was saying, Jared, the only reason why I flew back from Benin to Lagos was because there's no plane going from Benin to Port Harcourt. So I had to fly from Benin back to Lagos with my wife and the whole crew. Back to Lagos, only to get to Lagos next day, again fly to Port Harcourt. Preach on Port Harcourt, Sunday, 3 services on Sunday. After that, preached on Wednesday again in Port Harcourt. Flew on Thursday back to Lagos. Shot this video. Flew back to Lagos. The next day again, Friday, flying back to Calabar. The reason I'm doing that is that there's no plane going from Port Harcourt to Calabar directly. I would have just done that. But I have to come to Lagos to turn around and go to Calabar. So you see, all these things is cost. The airline, air peace, even though they are peaceful, they are not that peaceful. Hallelujah. To give me free ticket because I'm going to preach the gospel of peace. No. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Air peace will still collect their money even though I'm preaching the gospel of peace. They will collect their money. So I have to pay. I have to pay for hotels. I have to eat while I'm there. Praise God. So it's not money. It's not, stop seeing money as something we worship. You need to have a healthy relationship with it. You need to understand that it's a tool to worship God. Everybody must see that in this church. No matter how poor or rich you think you are, you must see the money coming through your hand as a tool to worship. When you have that kind of goal in your mind, the rest will fall in place. That's what the Bible says. That when you seek God first, every other thing shall be added. And have other crazy schedules like that throughout the year. Sometime later this year, I'm going to go to Abuja to preach. I'm going to preach here. Go to Abuja to preach. When I get to Abuja, I'm going to fly from Abuja to Dubai directly. In fact, the thing that saved us is that their flight is going from Abuja to Dubai. If not, I would have had to come back from Abuja to Lagos to come and enter plane to Dubai. Abuja is closer to Dubai than here, than Lagos. But thank God their flight. So I'm going to go to Abuja preach. As I'm coming down from the altar in Abuja, I'm going straight to the airport. As in, my clothes and everything will be packed. As I'm finished preaching in Abuja like this, I'm going straight to the airport to go and preach in Dubai. I will land on Friday morning, like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. And I'm preaching that same morning, Friday morning, in Dubai. Now, the plan originally was, I think preaching that Friday, I'm supposed to enter a plane again to land here on Saturday so I can preach again on Sunday. So, I'm thinking about just staying and sleeping. I'm missing one Sunday because that schedule is getting crazy. But you see those kind of schedules. All those things cost money to do. Sometime again in the month of May, I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to preach in like 3 or so cities in Canada. All those things are traveling. Then, maybe I come back from Canada like this, I'll go to Abuja. I'm giving you my schedule. You understand that these things, if me, that I'm not even at the level of some of these great, great men of God we know, if my schedule is this tight, picture a Pastor Adeboye's schedule. Picture a Bishop Oyedepo's schedule. So when you're talking about a plane, to those people, it's not luxury. They understand that this is just a tool. And when they are blessing a lot of lives that can afford these things, it's okay for them to use it. It's not a personal. It's not something you park in your garage. That's not what a plane is. Hallelujah. So I'll go to Canada, preach in like three cities. Then I'll come straight from Canada. I'll rush to Port Harcourt, preach Friday night, Saturday morning, another church, Saturday evening, another church. Sunday, I don't know, I think there are about two services. And when I'm done on Sunday, Monday morning, I'm traveling to Abuja to preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's, I'm coming from Canada, I'll see the schedule. From after Abuja, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm flying straight to Ilorin. Thank God there's a plane from Port Harcourt to Abuja and a plane from Abuja to Ilorin. If not, I'd have had to come to Lagos to turn, to go back. So from Port Harcourt to Abuja, from Abuja to Ilorin, back to back to back, every day for almost more than 2 weeks. And somebody said, this pastor, I'm not doing any work. I'm laughing. In fact, let me not tell you about my laughter on your neck. Praise God. There is no easy money. We'll get there as we go on in this course of this teaching. There is no easy money. Just open shop. Now open. Okay. So financial goals, guys. So I've said the first thing is that you must have a healthy relationship. You must understand that money is a tool to worship. All right. And in talking about, let me move now beyond giving. Beyond giving and tithing, because that's the first foundation. All right. You must understand how to have a healthy relationship with money in terms of seeing it as a tool, something we use to worship God. That's what our tithe is. That's what our offerings are. They are worship. And tithe and offering or giving has always been a part of the gospel, has always been a part of the relationship with God. Don't answer or listen to anybody telling you funny things. There has been no time that religion or Christianity or anything that has to do with God has been separate from giving. It has never happened. From Genesis chapter 1 till the end, giving has always been a constant feature. From Adam to Abraham, all these guys, Abraham, even they were asking Abraham to even bring his son. You are talking about money. They talked to Abraham to bring his only son. Worship has always been a part of giving. I don't have time to show you all those ones. When Jesus even came, the first thing the people did was that they brought offering. They didn't bring clap. They didn't bring dance. They brought gold. Hallelujah. That's Jesus Christ. Is he going to eat the gold? Because people ask now, the offering, is he God eating it? Did Jesus eat the gold they brought? But when you come before the king, you never come empty-handed. Even worldly kings know that. Worldly kings that would die someday, they know that. How much more will have the heavenly king? The one that is the king of kings. Please don't insult my God. Tell anybody telling you rubbish not to insult your God. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, tell your neighbor for me. Tell your neighbor, don't insult my God. Hallelujah. So it has always been a part of the thing. So don't let anybody, it's not today. It's not Nigerian pastors that started it. It's not Nigerian pastors that started it. It's not today. It has been existing from beginning. So in talking about financial goals, there are three things to note. I'll try and make this as simple as possible, even though I have a lot to say today. You know, God will help me with the time. I have a lot to say today, so I'm going to just unleash it on you as fast as I can. But there are three things you must note in simple terms. If you are going through financial hard times or you want to just set your financial goals, it's not beyond three things. Number one is making money. Number two is managing money. Number three is multiplying money. So it's just those three things. You are either setting goals for making money or you are setting goals for managing money or you are setting goals for multiplying money. So your financial goals are tied to these three things. So you are either at a state where you don't even make any money. So we need to talk to you about making money. Maybe you're here, you make money, but somehow it's never enough. You're eating hand to mouth. We'll talk to you about managing money. Then maybe you've already succeeded in managing money. We'll talk to you about multiplying money. Because the ultimate is that you can make enough money to manage it. Because if you don't make enough, you can't manage it. If you don't make enough, you're eating hand to mouth. To manage it and then to multiply it. Multiply it is the end goal for everybody. Multiplying it simply means you get to a stage where the income is not commensurate to the work you put in. If you are still earning strictly tied to the physical work you put in, that's not where you should be because you cannot be at this level of strength all your life. As you get older, your strength will wane. Nobody's going to work the same hours from beginning of their life to the end of their life. But your cost of living doesn't change. You still need to spend money to live. So you must get to the stage where you have certain things, certain investments, certain whatever that is bringing you money even if you don't go to work. And that's where everybody must get to, where you can be sleeping and still be receiving a lot. If you never get there, then you need to get there. If you have never